Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks. We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TruBolt door locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. I have our patrons with us. It's the end of the month again. It happens every month, and it always creeps up and is a surprise because time doesn't actually make any sense anymore for some reason. Anyway, hey, everybody, welcome back. We are discussing power armor this week and going to be discussing things from a kind of a different perspective. I've done episodes on power armor before. Power armor comes up pretty regularly on the show. But we wanted to see if we could customize our power armor and make some improvements in ways that the developers haven't really thought about yet. And so the patrons have decided to join me as usual. We've got a fun group here. We've got here. Who do we have next to me? We've got Pumpkin and Nova and Lil Green and St. Giub and Germinator. Welcome back, everybody. I'm excited to talk power armor because over the years, there have been changes and updates to power armor. They've expanded the selection of different models and all of that. But I have a feeling you all, being Fallout experts, we'll just call you, well, you're all experts, right? You might have some suggestions for ways that you would change your own power armor in order to maximize its benefits in the wasteland. And I'm hoping that during this conversation, some of these ideas make their way to Bethesda, because we know some of the developers listen to the show. Maybe you'll come up with some fun ideas that they'll work into, like Fallout 5, and people will be like, holy crap, that's a great idea. That seems really cool. And it also makes sense a few hundred years after the bombs drop that you wouldn't just leave the power armor pieces just the way they are. If you're somebody in the wasteland, you come across a suit of power armor, you're going to adjust it and change it and stuff, right? So I have a feeling you're going to come up with some really fun ideas, but hey, why don't we go ahead and kick this off? Who would like to start us out? I probably should have set this up before the show started, but Pumpkin's ready to go. Pumpkin has some ideas. Pumpkin, what are you thinking?
So this is a mix of a cosmetic thing with the thing that already exists. So we see that the power armor takes damage. It can get broken, all that. I would love to see a mechanic so that as it gets more and more damaged, it gets visually damaged. It looks damaged. Oh,
so you're talking from in the game perspective of,
yeah,
make it match reality. Like if I take bullets to my chest, then it should have scuff marks and bullet marks on it.
And another thing is if you have like a clean set of armor, like it's just a straight like silver metal armor, over time it starts to brown, like it's rusting.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that too.
Right. Like in The Witcher 3. Is it The Witcher? No, it's in Red Dead. In Red Dead Redemption, over time, your beard grows and your hair gets longer. You know what I'm talking about? Like
And you can get bigger, too, by eating, too, as well.
Right. So to have role-playing elements like that in a future Fallout game where, like, oftentimes I will adjust to the way my character looks over time to make it look like he's more grizzled and aged from being in the wasteland. But it would be really cool if, like, that kind of stuff happened physically to you, but then also to your gear over time, and then you could repair it, you could kind of buff it out, but that seems really cool.
I did have something that I brought up in a past episode, and that was having power armor, if you had Pain Train, be able to just run through locked wooden doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea too. You just break, or even just like walls, like thin walls, mm-hmm, in like old structures, you just kind of blow through them. I
go
love
Kool-Aid,
this is,
man.
Yeah. So this was a big thing like 20 years ago when like Half-Life 2 came out, and it was like, hey, we've added real physics to the game, and wood works like wood, and concrete acts like concrete, and glass acts like glass. And yeah, games still have that stuff, but I feel like it hasn't been as much of a focus in the games. But it makes sense in a game like Fallout, where you're in a wasteland and they have these old structures around, to be able to damage the structures, damage the materials. You know, like if you shoot a ghoul, you blow his arm off, his arm flies off. Why not pieces of the power armor like chunk off as you take damage and just like fall to the ground? That seems like a really fun idea. I like this one, Pumpkin. Any other thoughts on this one before we open it up to everybody? Nothing
else. I do like...
Yeah, Lil Green, what do you think? What do you want to add to this?
I do like the thought of like the cosmetic changes of like rust, or like even like getting any damage to something that you use a lot in combat, or even just against the elements, or something that is technically hundreds of years old, depending on what game you play even. Yeah. So seeing like that just like getting worse, or like, or just like manipulating like as you use your armor would be nice. I mean, it'd be nice to see it, but like I'm just, you know, thinking about how we view power armor. Normally it's just in a first person view. I guess it would force a lot of us to be more of a third person view, which is like, you know, you play the game a little bit differently then too. So you know what, I'm down for it.
Yeah,
like,
but
it.
You also tend to have a companion with you, and sometimes you let your companion walk around.
That's
the power armor.
True,
right?
If, and so, you know, if there is a way to make it so that the companions also, like anything they wear, degrades as well.
Yeah, so it could be the companions, it could be the enemies. You could get a sense of how difficult an enemy in power armor is by how degraded the armor looks, whether through time, like rust, or through damage. Like, it's one thing to look at somebody in power armor and be like, oh, well, they're clearly missing an arm and a leg, because you can see, like, the chassis underneath it, because the armor part isn't there. Like, in Fallout 76, for example. But to be able to, you know, look at them and go, oh, well, they've got gaping holes. There's part of their mechanism on their chest that's like glitching and sparking because it's broken. Like, that would be really freaking cool. Plus, you could, and this is taking this another step further, you could add actual mechanical changes to it. So, for example, maybe you break somebody's power armor arm and now they can't use that arm. So they go from being able to hold a weapon that requires two hands to only using one-handed weapons, or maybe they can't walk as fast because all of a sudden, you know, the mechanism that moves the frame and the legs of the suit is no longer compensating. So they got to like drag the suit along with them. Right. And it becomes like a problem. I could totally see that.
Yeah, no, like definitely just like damage in general would just make it just power armor more of a decisive tool, I guess. So it's just like, it's like, do you want to risk getting damaged and possibly dying, or is the added protection worth the risk as well?
Yeah,
so it's like it's more of like it could hurt you or it could help you,
right? And the cost of repairing, whether that means you having the skills in the game with the way you build your character to actually repair it, and so you just need the equipment, or do you need to take it to the Brotherhood and hand it over and then they fix it for you, you know? And you can even have a whole dynamic there where maybe it's so damaged it takes them a day or two. So you either have to just wait and let time pass, or go do other stuff and come back and grab your armor later. You could have all sorts of elements around this. Now, I had some other ideas about this, and I'm not going to bring them up yet because some of you might have had similar ideas, but this is kind of brushing up against some things that were already in my head. But I like this. Anybody else want to chime in with the whole power armor aesthetic and degrading and all of that? Any other changes? Do you think this would be a good idea? Would you like this in a game? I'm seeing some nods. Jeb or Nova? Jeb, what do you think?
No, I definitely like love the idea. I've always loved mech warrior games, things, stuff like Armor Core, where maintenance and kind of like the constant upkeep is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of introduced some of that with Fallout 4 with the customization and, you know, still making repair a part of that. But I feel like you could add a whole another layer to it and really make it make that investment in time and improvements and stuff, especially if there's a way to like have a higher difficulty threshold. I think they would just add a whole new dynamic to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also allows you to kind of, I don't know, have to be responsible with your stuff.
Yes.
That makes sense. You know, and so you might look at, maybe I use my power all the time, but I put it away in certain instances because I don't want it to get damaged. Or maybe the flip side of most engagements, I don't need the power armor, but there's a Deathclaw over there and I need to get through that thing. So I'm going to put it on, deal with the Deathclaw, deal with some damage, but now I know that I'm safer and more likely to get through. So it gives you some risk reward options, kind of makes decision making a little bit more interesting.
Well, I think it would be, I don't want to take up too much time, but I think it would be very interesting because the way I always kind of looked at groups like the ones who have the power armor, like the Brotherhood or the Enclave, they have the resources to maintain that kind of stuff. Whereas your fledgling communities in the wasteland, they don't, some of them barely have, if they have electricity there, they barely have water or the resources to, if they were going to bring something out like that, this is, you know, it's hitting the fan, like it's throw everything you have at this problem. So this might be the only time some of them ever actually see that thing working, if it works at all.
Right. It's like your cherished thing and you just keep it around just in case. And sometimes, oh no, this is the time to pull out granddad's power armor. We're going to need it. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I could totally see that. Awesome. All right. Any other thoughts on this one to close it up? Pumpkin, any other thoughts from you? What do you think?
No, I'm just happy that a lot of people were like, yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
I think I actually have an idea that goes along with this is that you have to do periodic, like what would it be like, so if you're playing in survival mode, what would be your opinion if you had to do periodic preventative maintenance on the power armor to make sure that the electrical or hydraulic or servos didn't seize up in mid combat?
Yeah, like you got to oil it, you got to clean it out. Yeah.
Yeah, or like the electrical system did not start glitching because, you know, you're taking like bullets carry a lot of kinetic energy and it's going to be transferred directly into the plates. That's going to impact on the electrical servos. Now you're using what are essentially rudimentary electrical components. And so they're going to be quite fragile and are going to be susceptible to jarring and damaging. And so if in the middle of a firefight, you know, you take a critical shot somewhere, you know, like a rock explodes and where you take like a 308 to the chest, something like that, it damages something. And then your HUD starts glitching out mid firefight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of Iron Man style
that as well.
Oh dude. What if there was an Iron Man style HUD? Oh, the HUD's cool already. But like, can you imagine like, you know, boop, 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 you know, like left leg on fire, you know.
Well, maybe you can have an AI model, like a prototype AI armor with that installed in it.
Yeah. Would you take like Codsworth's AI and put it in your power armor?
We have had power armor that can talk to you in the past. Fallout 3.
Yeah, the medic power armor.
It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's totally possible. But then what if you could customize it? Like what if you could choose which robot or which AI you come across, you know, like, oh, I want Curry to run my power armor.
It's just Liberty Prime.
Yeah, Liberty Prime running my power armor.
I think that would be more for mods. There would have to be like a level, like my opinion, there'd be a level of realism to it where it would just be a prototype. So there'd only be one base AI, but then, you know, you can mod anything and if you want, but I think it would be better if it is just one base AI that you get from a fort or a research facility somewhere like New York, you go to Montauk, for example, and then you get this.
Yeah, that's because that would be cool.
Anyone familiar with Montauk, by the way, like the stories behind Montauk? Yeah, exactly. It's where like MK Ultra was based out of, pretty much. And so you go to Montauk, you get this developmental AI power armor, and it's just a super smart, advanced next generation.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That would be really cool. And I still love the idea of what if you could take other brains, or even just have it imitate something else, like use it as like okay, Codsworth, come over here, talk with the power armor for a few minutes, and now it's gonna pretend that it's gonna use your voice.
Interact with the power armor, Codsworth.
right, it's gonna use your voice or whatever. But like, you could even, for characters that like use the technology, like their body dies, but they live on, like their consciousness lives on in a machine kind of thing, and so like. And we're just talking future. We're just speculating here. But imagine Fallout 5. You've got your companions that you can find in the game, and they become part of your group. And let's say the super mutant, like somebody like Strong, dies, but in their death throes, you can transfer their intelligence into your power armor. So now they talk to you through your power armor suit and manage your systems for you.
Yeah, you have a backseat driver the entire time,
right? And on top of that, go ahead.
The only issue I have with this, you need to be able to turn it off because it'll end up like War Thunder, where it's constantly yelling at you, you have a hole in your right wing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And you can it's change the really settings. Old, well, really yeah. Question.
Well, in Germany, that probably would be only a specific power armor that was at a, like a prototype developmental power armor.
Right.
And so you can customize that to be whatever you want, but the baseline frame itself has this AI integrated into it. But a trade-off for that, though, for being smarter would be it the actual thing would be more fragile, and so it would require much more maintenance and upkeep and be of much greater energy draw.
Right.
So the Fallout 4 Fusion Cores would actually make sense at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of it, like maybe exists in a specific section of the component, maybe on your back or in your helmet or something like that. And then if that component takes damage, all of a sudden stops reporting and stops, you know, signaling damage and talking to you.
Starts reporting wrong damage or is fragmented.
People would get all up in arms about that. They'd be like, what's this game?
It's not
the game
working, is glitch. Man.
It says my left arm is broken, but it's clearly not broken. It's like, dude, it's
my
the power
right
armor.
Is broke. What the heck?
It's the AI. The AI was damaged in the power armor. Yeah. So this butts up right against another idea I had, and that would be in that kind of suit, if you have an AI in the suit, then it could walk around without you in it.
So it'd just be the Sentinel AI... what is that? Creation Club.
The Creation Club. Yeah.
So like it could be. So let's take this through all the steps. You get the power armor. It has its default AI. You start using it. It's helpful. It's useful. And then one of your companions dies. Let's say Strong. And the Strong is now the personality in your power armor. But then you get out of the power armor and you can talk to it like it's Strong. And it's going to act just like your companion used to act. But it's a suit of power armor.
I think that you would only be able to do that once in the game, though, and because it has to be balanced. You have to balance the game out, obviously. So it has to only once, I would say. And it's also a trade off as to if you want to use that power armor yourself or you want to give it to a companion who died.
Right. Or you could use it as many times as you want. And every time you meet anybody, you can just add them to your collection of personalities.
So you have like a it's basically just going to be a one of those old binders that you had CDs inside of, but just hollow disk with different personalities of people you met and killed, and you just downloaded their consciousness onto it.
Yeah. Or you could take this another step further and put Strong's personality in the power armor, but then give the power armor to MacReady. And so now MacReady's walking around in power armor with Strong's personality, and they get in arguments with each other.
Tom, I think you're going down a rabbit hole and you're just making everyone's head hurt at this point.
But that would be amazing. That would be, people would be like, wait, this is a thing? They actually put this in the game? Like, yes, this is amazing.
I just like the thought that Nova was just like, you kill an enemy and take their personality, and my brain just went, Pokemon catch, gotta catch them.
Right, you gotta catch all the enemies, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, and then you could take, like, you know, the brain of a Deathclaw and have it manage your power armor for you, and it acts like a Deathclaw. Okay, maybe that's too far. I probably went too far a number of steps previous to this, but there you go. That's the power armor ideas. Nova, these are some fun ideas. Now, was that your idea, or was there something else you wanted to suggest?
Yeah, that was going to be my idea, was going to be the resource management aspect of it, as to what, like, do I really want to take the power armor right now and risk it breaking down, you know, like risk it, T-45 having a hydraulic leak mid-mission, and I have to stop and repair it, or do I really want the protection, or also the prototype AI integrated into the power armor that's going to, you know, be a much greater resource draw, but at the same time, that it could be like enemy up there behind the hill.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it like helps target for VATs a little bit better.
Or that or, too, yeah.
Yeah, like it improves other systems that kind of coincide with it. Yeah, I could totally see that. I think the maintenance, it would, from a like a meta perspective on the way you would want to design the game for the audience to enjoy it, I think having a more repair centric needy side and putting that stuff more in survival mode and then having a little bit of that
survival mode already.
Right.
I pre-faced it with that only being in survival mode.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying you didn't. What I'm saying is like you put that stuff in survival mode, but then maybe there's some of the less, annoying isn't the right word, less user manually needed user stuff that you put in the main mode, so that, for example, maybe it does require more powerful fusion cores to run. And so that's just a necessity to run that armor. It has a slightly different requirement for power, or, you know, not the sort of thing where you'd constantly have to be replacing it as, you know, faster, which is annoying, but, you know, just other requirements, or, you know, like when the arm breaks and it kind of just stops working, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just locks up and is dragged behind you.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Or imagine the helmet breaks and now you can't look to side to side. You know, like you're like turret controls all of a sudden. That would be really annoying. But yeah, I could see some of that stuff. Well, here, anybody else have any thoughts on this whole like upgrading and adjusting components and stuff like that? Pumpkin, did you want to chime in? Oh, I saw your hand moving. I didn't know if that meant you wanted to chime in with other stuff there. All right. And no other thoughts on Nova's idea?
I mean, I like the idea. There's definitely like a lot that you could do with that. I don't know what you could do with that, but I know that there's a lot.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Like, I mean, you have a Pip-Boy, so the Pip-Boy kind of takes some of that already and implements. So for example, counting your ammo and those kinds of things. But I can imagine an AI machine that does a little bit more than just counts your ammo. Or maybe you've got your like compass on the screen, but when the AI is engaging in things, it's giving you like potential routes that are more efficient to get from one place to another. Or maybe the weather's starting to pick up and it warns you ahead of time before you see it visually. There could be a number of things you could do.
Actually, I have a really good idea with this. Whenever there is a scientific speech check or engine or like something with this two specter like that, the AI has its catalog of knowledge behind you. And so it like in game, it would be like whispering to your ear, but it would like highlight one speech selection for you. That would be like, oh, this is the most realistic one right here because X, Y, and Z. Yeah. So it could help you in speech. But at the same time, that would probably be a little more intimidating overall.
So right, yeah, it has its own personality and recommendations. But it could also hack into terminals more easily.
Yeah, that too. You.
Yeah. Jeb has some thoughts. What do you think?
This is more, it kind of goes along the idea of maintenance, but I think this is something that would apply to armor and like outfits across the board, is also changing the way that people kind of like characters and NPCs react to seeing how well you've maintained or even just what you're wearing.
Yeah.
I know you kind of get a little bit of this in New Vegas with like the faction outfits, but it really ends at that. And usually they're just hostile. But if you were to add it like, oh, wow, he's got really well maintained like outfit and armor like that, they may find you show a higher disposition to you. Whereas some people really don't like power armor. They see you, oh, you must be part of the Brotherhood of the Enclave, so they don't like you. I've always just kind of found that fascinating. Or they may look down on you saying, oh, your outfit is like barely like your hat. It's like you look like you're just wearing rags. They have a lower disposition towards you.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, there's already some system, like when you walk around naked, you know, like people comment and that kind of thing. So you could expand that into other, you know, like how well do you take care of yourself? Do you look like a wasteland? Do you look like a raider? Like, have you hodgepodged a bunch of pieces together to make sure your power armor still works, but it just looks like this, you know, I don't know, rusting piece of garbage that you're wearing, and so people are going to assume you're a raider when in actuality you just were lost in the wilderness for a few days and really needed to do something in order to make sure you survived. You know, like that I like that. I love in these games when what you do and how you do it and what you wear, your choices affect the way the world interacts with you. I find that to be one of the more engaging things that they can do to, you know, to really role play this out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I always think about it like, I mean, I know it would require a lot of like integration and a lot of like formulas just to even kind of calculate how specific NPCs should react to different, you know, different attributes and aspects to your character. But something simply, even simple as, oh, you're approaching the raiders, like whether it be the cons or something like that. Oh, you're too clean. You look like, you know, you like bathe regularly. So you look like a neat. Arc, you like we some week you're soft, we can take advantage of you.
Yeah, you're not one of us, clearly.
Yes,
and we can just kind of tell that, and they can reveal why in their dialogue. Well, you're too clean, you're not one of us, get out of here, you know, like, or whatever. And I think from a like a coding perspective, obviously I'm not a developer, I've worked around developers, but I'm not a developer myself. I do understand though that there are ways to code these kinds of things through flags or labels, for example. So like once the power armor hits a certain level of degradation, let's say 50%, it gets the flag of like worn or something.
Yeah.
And so when people see you come up and something you're wearing shows worn, then they react a certain way. You know, that's a way you can manage that in the code. You would have to then adjust all of those parameters around every single person in the game, and especially the ones with voice lines, you'd have to record different voice lines for the way they react to that. So it does multiply pretty quickly once you have multiple flags, but it also makes the game more engaging from like a roleplay standpoint.
Yeah, and like my own personally, I mean, there's layers of levels of attention you have to pay. Like obviously, like faction leaders or you know people who are important to like a quest storyline, those would be the ones probably who would get more attention. You know, actually more dialogue options. Whereas your more generic NPCs, they may just have dialogue barks saying like, "Oh, hey, your outfit looks like garbage. What do you you look like? If you're in a nicer like town or something like that, it might be something as simple as that.
Right, go take a bath. You smell, you know, or whatever. Sure,
or merch. Like, like either give you worse prices on things you're going to buy and sell. Or, I mean, if this is in survival mode, I mean, if they want to go that level, they can say, oh, you look disgusting or you're completely naked. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Go put some clothes on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All of that totally makes sense. I like it. So Jeb, now that we're talking with you, did you have something else you wanted to add to our customizing your armor?
Oh well, no, things? that was really it. Was
that's
that
your main point?
It was the idea of adding like in a more character reactions, like not just a power arm, but just outfits in general.
Yeah, I like that. I also like that as the games have progressed and we've gotten more models for power armor, and 76 has tons of different skins and all of those kinds of things that you could. Especially when it's like, okay, this power armor has a Brotherhood insignia on it. People are going to assume things. This power armor looks like it's a bunch of junk pieced together. Clearly it's Raider power armor. People are going to assume things. Or, other, it's very similar, like you said, about New Vegas, where if you wear some other faction's gear, people will assume you're part of that faction. And so expanding that into power armor makes a lot of sense, but also I like the idea of like the quality of the armor. Like, is it confusing if you have like, and this may garner different reactions, if you have what was pristine Brotherhood armor and it's, you've been out in the wilderness for weeks and now it's falling apart. Will people still like the combination of, oh, you're Brotherhood, but wait a minute, usually Brotherhood armor looks a lot better condition than that. What's going on? You know, like it starts raising questions or very specific kinds of reactions to like, man, how are you part of the Brotherhood? You're a mess, you know, like that kind of thing.
I mean, even if you are like a paladin, like at whatever point in the end of the storyline, you were able to join the Brotherhood, they might just even find it shameful that you take that poor care of your, you know,
right.
Armor. Like you go to meet the elders, you're like, don't come back into my office until you, I mean, I was in the army, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
You come to someone above you who like wearing uniform that looks terrible, you're getting hemmed up for it. Like they'll refuse to talk to you.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So like, hey, fix that power armor, then come back and talk to me. You're like, you know the order of priorities here. We take care of our gear first. Go do that. You know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. Oh, totally. All right, let's open this up. What do you guys think about this idea? Anybody have thoughts on this one? Want to chime in? I know somebody does. You guys always have opinions. Don't be shy. I'm just going to stare at the screen. I'm going to look right into my camera until somebody decides that they can speak up.
I like the idea of the more disheveled you are, the more you'll fit in with the like Wastelanders. And so if you're a vault, if you're from the vault and you go to like, I don't know, like River City, like you come out of the vault, you're like fresh and clean, your pristine little jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. And then you go to a, there's some random hole in the wall, little settlement. And you're going to stick like a sore thumb and people are probably going to look upon you kind of snobbishly like, who does this guy think he is? But then you go out, you find just some like a loincloth or something like that, you come back, he's like, oh, that's my guy right there. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, you need some help? All right, I got some help for you.
Right, you just roll in the mud for a minute or two and then you come back and they're like, yeah, one of us. Where'd you find the ball seat?
Yeah. I mean, you have to dress to impress, but also it works the other way around, where if you go to like Tenpenny Towers, you have to dress a little more fancily to fit in, and then it's gonna open more dialogue options.
Yeah, I like this. I like this idea. So you can expand it to things like Enclave power armor, and that being an absolute, thing that people would react to, just like the Brotherhood. But imagine now you're in a part of the world that doesn't see the Enclave very often, but knows who they are. You know, like, do they even let you in the door? That sort of thing. I like this. I like this. It's a kind of like a combination of a few things that all just kind of comes together in an interesting way. All right. Any other thoughts on this one? Jeb, any closing thoughts or any other brainstorms?
No, I mean, that really just sums it up. Like I said, I just love more, you know, flybirds and like more like just RPG kind of formula added into it, and just more, just, you know, just have a little, just something like, you know, again, the way I maintain my equipment, just to have a little bit more impact on the world around me and how I'm reacted to. I feel like it, when you do something like that, people will put a lot more thought into what they're wearing and what they're choosing beyond just the baseline stats or just how good they think it looks.
Yeah, yeah. There's another piece of this would be, let's say you compile a set of power armor that has two or three different distinct types of power armor combined, and the way people would respond to that. Like, you got a Brotherhood chest, but you got an Enclave helmet, and you got this, like, junk arm over here, and, people might be confused by that. Or maybe the people from the Wasteland or the Raiders would be like, ah, yeah, one of us, because that's what we do. We piece it all together and we go with what we got.
You just hodgepodge it all together. Okay, yeah, you must be, you know, just some backyard, you know, welder, you know, putting stuff together.
Right. So if you are part of the Brotherhood and you're like, okay, I'm going to go visit that settlement over there, I'm going to swap out this arm with this other piece and this leg with this other piece. So now they think I'm one of them because my armor doesn't look all pristine, but I don't have to mess up my good armor. I just, you know, store the parts that I don't need in the moment. And so you can just kind of make those kinds of changes as well. Yeah, there's a lot of dynamic options for the way you could set that up. Cool. All right. Well, we haven't heard from Germinator or Lil Green yet. Would either of you like to go? Germinator's ready. How's it going, Germinator?
Oh, not too shabby. So mine's sort of a twist or extension on Jib's idea, because I've been seeing all these armored vehicles and all the dead cars and stuff around the wasteland, and I'm thinking, what's stopping someone from cutting one of those apart and just using the insanely thick armor on them for body armor? Like, imagine a tank's frontal plate for your chest plate.
Yeah, holy
crap.
It's
not like the power armor won't be able to handle it. And if you want to go down the raider route, pull an engine block out of somewhere. 220 pounds for power armor is nothing.
That's true.
You know, true. Hang an engine block off your chest.
Yeah, yeah. Put the pieces together. Also, if you're pulling parts off of vehicles, you could make some really cool designs that look sleek and stylish, like fancy old cars, like fenders. And
exactly.
Stuff. Yeah. So you could use both. You could get like the hardened, reinforced parts of the vehicle and graft those on places, especially like your chest armor, where you want more actual solid mass to keep bullets from penetrating. But then you could also, you know, put some like foils and shape designs around the shoulders or the back, and you know, just kinda, yeah,
or massive tail fins.
Yeah, tail fins, or like a, can you imagine a fin on the back of your helmet? Just like a
or like that Chrysler jet car, have a jet engine poking out the back.
Yeah,
rather than your power, than your fusion core.
Right. Or some like shiny chrome pieces that are kind of sculpted around the edges of things that, you know, kind of show.
Yeah.
I like this.
Kind of reminds me of the Atom Cats, though.
Yeah. It is kind of Atom Cat. Like, you could add, of course, like the flame art and like those kinds of things too, like the 1950s vehicle art, that kind of thing. I like this. Oh, this is great, especially because it fits the retro aesthetic of Fallout, the idea that like some power armor might be designed in a way that is reminiscent of like 1950s vehicles, because it actually uses those components.
And I mean, just like, I can imagine just being a Chrysler or Chrysler specific piece of power armor that they were used for promotion, just like what Vim was doing.
Yeah.
You find this at one of their corporate headquarters in New York or whatever it is.
Right.
And Nuka-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what Nuka-Cola is doing as well. And so it's a form over function, but it's still a functional piece.
Right.
It just has a, like, you know, less efficient and less useful than other pieces are, but if you want to go around in the wasteland style, then here is your chair, Red Cherry Bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes sense also from the standpoint of like raiders who have found power armor pieces. They don't know how to build an actual legitimate suit of power armor. They're just taking pieces and tacking it on for extra protection around a chassis, right? So to do that in a stylish sort of way totally makes sense. I like this. I like this idea. I also like the idea of the tank components, like the thickness of that front steel. And in heck, even the shape of it, design, I mean, it is armor. Armor is meant to deflect things away from the body. So using different aspects of that armor and the angles that you could cut the steel and place it on your body in order to deflect things away from your center of mass makes a lot of sense.
You're just going to have like a giant wedge sticking out from your chest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, heck, you could, I mean, if you wanted to, or if you're like running into people with your power armor, put things that protrude out from the front of your body that would wound the things you'd run into. Could totally do that.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks. We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TruBolt door locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Jeb, what do you think?
Actually, it was kind of something similar to what you had just said as far as doing that. Again, if you're going into like, if you're sprinting at something and you just want to stick basically what is a battering ram or some large piece of metal on you.
Yeah.
I was also thinking maybe put it like lower in the skill tree, or maybe sometimes if your repair skill is too low, something that might be an option is literally just take just the options. You just have a piece of metal that's on that can only be used as a melee weapon. Mm-hmm. So basically, and yeah, that's pretty much it. If you don't don't have the skill to actually repair, you know, the actual individual joints and servos or wherever that goes into power armor. So you could still use it, but I don't know. Maybe that melee weapon has a higher damage or something like that, but it's a cost versus benefit thing. Like if you're using the power armor, if you're using this one at this point, you're only going to be able to use that, you know, primitive melee weapon.
Yeah, that makes sense too. And speaking of ways to use things creatively, what you were just, I know this isn't what you said, but it had spawned this idea in my head of the power armor itself is made out of these shapes and things that are meant to puncture and damage things by running into them. But then what if you had a character, and this I'll go through the steps. Well, you have a super mutant behemoth who then picks up the power armor and uses that as their weapon and is hitting things with power armor like a club. But the story is that the super mutant behemoth's brain is, of course, a super mutant's brain, and like parts of its old personality are coming through. And it originally was like a little kid who has now mutated into this giant monster. And so the power armor is like its little doll that it keeps with it. And when it gets angry, it hits things with its doll.
That is pretty good.
Oh, man. Plus, if it's made out of like tank parts and it's, you know, hundreds of pounds of just stuff, it's gonna mess things up when you hit stuff with it. And it may not be usable as power anymore, but it's still gonna be a big hunk of metal that's gonna mess stuff up.
I want to talk about how one of the first things Germanator said was pull an engine, like if you're going the Raider route and pulling an engine block and just hanging it on the front. And right. My brain was like, is that just like a gold chain for the Raiders?
Yeah.
You could.
Okay. Okay, so serious question with that engine bit. It'd take one bolt to explode, though. So your base is going to be a mini nuke at that point, because most of the engines are, you know, nuclear engines, and the cars are notoriously unstable in the game.
That's true.
So you're going to Leroy Jenkins it into a room, and you're going to blow the entire building up.
Yes. And that's still
instead,
cool.
Instead of a super mutant suicider, you could probably become a power armor suicider.
Yeah, and if the power armor can work on its own because it has AI in it, then you could just send it in to blow up.
They're going to see this idea, and it's going to be a faction of raiders that found a massive stockpile of power armor. And instead of using it like normal people would, they just put mini nukes or like engine blocks around their guy's neck or just carry an engine block in. And it's like, oh, you're going to shoot me? No, you can't shoot me. No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be, oh, God.
I like it.
We're making
like
terrible enemies now.
This is good. All right. This has gone all sorts of different places. Any other thoughts on what we've described so far? All right. Cool. Germinator, fun ideas. Thank you for sharing. All right. Lil Green. You're last on our list. What are you thinking?
Alrighty. So my idea, you kind of touched on it a little bit at the end of that last bit,
okay.
But mine is active defense.
Yes. Okay. This was on my list of things too.
Okay.
I like this. Go on.
Yeah, like, cause I know a lot of people do melee builds, so this might be a good thing, or even just like when you get swarmed. So it's just like the one thing that just comes to mind is having like the power armor is just all metal. If there has to be a way to insulate it from like the user, but like when you're getting attacked, shock the people that are attacking you. So like that should be, you know, like one thing that you could do, or like have something like on you so that like if you're grabbed, it just like shoots off like a rocket, a grenade explodes, just something to like get people or a monster off of you.
Yeah.
So like that's an idea that I had. Oh, am I? What's up?
The electrifying bit is already in game.
Oh,
isn't that a perk? Was that a perk?
No,
is it Tesla's?
That's the one. Yeah.
Oh, never Tesla. Mind. All right, I'm. I don't use power armor a lot. Okay. So I'm still using excavator armor, and I'm like a level 162 and 76.
Well, all Tesla power armor does is increase your energy weapon skill, but you can also use it for this exact same thing, though. We're just add a different perk to
like,
it, essentially.
That's just like one of the ideas I have. Like you like put in active defenses so that if you're being swarmed or if you're grabbed by a giant monster like a behemoth, or even a deathclaw for that matter, like it gives you a chance to like push off and like you like continue the fight instead of you just getting your ass handed to you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, Fallout is sci-fi. Let's be honest. Fallout is sci-fi, and a lot of sci-fi things have shields that mitigate like laser damage and that sort of thing. And I know that there are materials that you can equip that reduce, you know, energy weapon damage. But can you imagine a kind of like a actual like a visual electric shield, like it goes around the suit and protects it in that sort of way? I think that's kind of similar to what you're saying. Jeb has some thoughts. Jeb?
It doesn't even, any kind of like something like that doesn't have to be overly, you know, high tech or particularly, I don't know, demonstrative. It can be something as simple as just having like constantly like razor wire, like someone just taking something like that and layering it over the armor. I mean, and the effect they get is if someone's doing melee damage, they might start getting a bleeding damage effect on them, because I don't know if you guys have ever touched like razor wire and they're like that. It cuts you up pretty easily. I can imagine a super mutant trying to pick that up. Yeah, he's going to hurt from it.
Yeah. Or a dog comes and bites you and gets that in its mouth. And so now it runs away whimpering because it's like, okay, I'm not going to bite that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it might even be a good way to scare away enemies. Like they might just disengage completely.
Or feral ghouls jump at you and then they get stuck on the razor wire and peel their bodies off and half of their body falls off because it gets destroyed. Oh, that could you imagine a situation where like they all heap on you and then you go poof, and you bust out and they all just kind of because of all the razor wire. Those are the sound effects that you would definitely use for that as well. Germinator is raising his hand. What do you think?
Something like that technically exists within Fallout 4. The first guy you fight when you go into Nuka World.
Oh, yeah.
In the bumper cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
he's a very zappy boy.
Right. He is a zappy boy. So like taking something like that and incorporating it into your own suit, or just being able to customize it. Plus, you could customize it in other ways. Like you could make it, you could combo it. You could have like razor wire that is electric. And then you could also have, if you've got like an AI thing going on, you could have like active tank kind of armor where if it detects, say, like a rocket heading towards you, a piece of the armor breaks off, like explodes off like shrapnel.
So ERA. explosive reactive armor,
yeah,
or talk about a trophy system.
Yeah. Well, either way, like chaff or whatever, like any whatever version of that you want to do. But the basic idea is the same, right? Like you put it, ejects something that then intercepts the explosive before it gets to you.
Now, well, there's two different ways. There's active and there's reactive. So active would be like a trove system where it actually shoots a projectile that intercepts whatever it is that's going to be hitting you, like a rocket. ERA, explosive reactive armor, would be when it impacts, when the projectile impacts you, there's a layer of explosive sandwiched between two steel plates, pretty much, that explode outwards. And that explosion internally counteracts the explosion externally.
Yeah.
So it could be either one.
Either one. Either one would be cool. I like that. What do you think? You guys are laughing about something. What are you laughing about? No. Pumpkin's like, no.
He private messaged me. Cover your power armor in the lube. They won't be able to grab you. That is also an option. I mean, you cover power armor in oil.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You just become a slippery boy.
Yep.
Or what if you covered it in, like, I mean, you could cover it in all sorts of disgusting things and then nobody wants to come near you. Absolutely. Oh man. All right, everybody's just rolling around now.
I need to say, he messaged back just sounds.
Sounds. All right, I think we've lost Pumpkin and Germinator.
You guys are disgusting.
All right, cool. Lil Green, let's continue on your thing. Make sure you're unmuted when you respond. Cool. All right. So any other thoughts on this one around this idea of like adding extra stuff on to defend yourself?
I mean, we pretty much covered it all. Everything from just like active reactive armor, like just like having like Tesla coils on you to like shock enemies, razor wires, just like a simple thing. So like it can even be like a tier system. So like, and or like certain armors can only have like certain defenses built into it. Mm-hmm. So like, no, it's just something that kind of, you know, I feel like rounds out everything we've been talking about too, because I don't know.
Yeah, it's not. That's great. I think we covered all the stuff that had kind of occurred to me, and you guys have added other stuff in that I didn't expect. I have to wonder if there are other ways that you could utilize things inside the power armor that could then, like, you, for example, when you heal yourself and you're in power armor, it just injects you. You don't have to inject yourself, right? Because you're covered in power armor. But are there other things the power armor can do to accommodate the occupant in order to make you even more powerful? You know, like one of them is you don't have fall damage, right? You just on the ground, but
survival, I mean, mode, waste recycling, you automatically drink.
Yeah, there you go.
One thing that kind of comes to mind is, instead of it being more an armor thing, you strip down the exoskeleton so far that it's just like, oh, you want to run faster? Just take the legs and throw them on. So now you could sprint faster for longer. Mm. Or like you do something for like the torso so that you could carry heavier weapons.
Yeah. So you could have like the different types of power armor have different, not just different amounts of armor protection, but some of them, some of the leg variations move faster than others. Some of them, maybe if you go just like a melee build, that some of them swing harder and they add bonuses to your melee attacks. You could totally do that with different elements and kind of.
And that actually makes sense in lore, because between the T-45 and the T-51, there was a lot of components that were changed. Like, I think the T-45 had hydraulics, while the T-51 upgraded servos, and then we just made it a much smoother operation system overall. So that makes sense in lore.
Yeah, that I agree. That would be cool. That's a cool idea too, Lil Green. Well, good one. These are all fun discussions. Thank you, everybody. I knew I could count on you to come up with some cool ideas, and you absolutely nailed it. All right, before we wrap this up, we're at the end of the show. And I know that there is now fishing in 76. I've been working on a bunch of stuff with the network. I'm updating the website with some really cool stuff, but I've been very busy and I just haven't had the chance to play 76 yet. I need to make a priority to do it, but I haven't been fishing. What are your thoughts, just real quick, just 2 minutes? What are your thoughts on fishing? Anybody try fishing yet? Do you like fishing in 76?
Pumpkin, go first.
Yeah, go ahead, Pumpkin.
I am loving fishing. I love fishing in video games that should not have fishing in it. So, like, I'm all for this. But I cannot stand the fact that I keep catching Brook Silversides. It is constant.
Is that like just an easy to catch fish?
It is the most common fish in Fallout 76.
I haven't even tried it, so I don't even know which fish are easier or even what fish are options. I absolutely I need to update my knowledge on this, because who knows, maybe I'll do a whole entire episode on fishing, but we'll see. We'll see. So you just keep on catching the crappy ones. Is there a way to fix that?
So there are challenges that get you better reels, like better reels. Yeah. But I would recommend doing like a lot of the fishing stuff, because the lore is.
Yes.
So it's dark.
Yes. Oh, no, that is absolutely something I've noticed people posting about is the cool interloper connected lore stuff going on, which I am up to speed on. I'm gonna have to play through it myself and see what my thoughts are on it. Absolutely. Lil Green, did you, or Jeb, I see you're unmuted, Jeb, did you want to add anything to the fishing conversation?
No, I mean, I haven't played it in 76 yet, but I mean, I've always been a big fan of stuff like that in games, when like just adding like fun like slice of life elements to it, whether it be fishing or, you know, like, you know, just the pure like hunting just for the game aspect of it, or even something where it's like gardening simulator. So no, I'm all about it. I've loved that kind of stuff since I think one of the Zelda games back in the 90s is the first time I did it, and I probably spent so much more time. I think I probably spent hours just doing the fishing mini game. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. Does it mean it's an officially an MMO? Because this is one of those jokes, like all MMOs have fishing. 76 has fishing now. Must be an MMO.
I guess it is. It finally made it.
Oh, finally made it. Lil Green, did you want to add anything else in there? I know you let Pumpkin go ahead.
No, I am enjoying the fishing myself. Like the different types of fish, like, and like all like the different challenges you get go along with the fishing. The lore is great, and it's also forcing you to probably go to parts of the map that you've never been to, or like just revisiting. So that it's just adding something else to the game and making you, I guess, think about because there's like certain environmental things that you need to do to like trigger certain fish to like spawn, and then like it's just something else. Like just I just love stuff. How it, it's just it's something stuff. Else. It's something new.
Yeah,
they're still adding to this game that. Everyone that I talked to that was like, oh, I'm playing 76. They're like, oh, like, isn't that like a dead game? Like, no, it's not a dead game.
It's more alive now than it ever was. Like, it is doing better than it's ever done.
It pulled like the No Man's Sky route, where like it wasn't. I've been a day one player. It wasn't that good day one.
Right.
Now, years later, I play it every day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So real quick, they're teasing the biggest update ever in the fall. And we could do an entire episode. Maybe we'll do this next month, is just some speculating about what that might be. I don't think it's a coincidence that we will be getting the biggest update ever to 76 in the fall, and also season 2 of the show. If I was in marketing and I was working for Bethesda, I would 100% make sure that something coincides with the second season of the show.
I thought the second season was coming out in December.
Yeah, so like
The
fall,
so like,
you get the big update, and then you have the season in December that comes out, and then anybody who's been watching the show goes, oh, there was this big update for 76, and now you can do all this cool stuff in that game. I'll give it a try. I haven't played Fallout yet, right? Like, I could totally see that working out. That makes a lot of sense. All right, so hey, real quick, we're getting to the end of the show, but we've got something else. Wasteland Ronin. He's wasn't able to make it to the show this week, but has left us a message. So I'm going to play. I haven't listened to it yet, so hopefully it doesn't say, like, you guys suck, you're the worst. I don't think Wasteland Ronin would say that, but here, let's give it a listen, see what Wasteland Ronin has to say.
Hello, it's Wasteland Ronin. So my idea for the improvements to power armor would be a suit that can recycle toxic air that's surrounding the suit, even like air with contaminants, because after a nuclear war, there'd be a lot of contaminants still floating around and whatnot, and even regular air, you know, so you could take this air and it would provide fresh, clean oxygen within the suit, And in doing so, it would have a healing capability where it would have vitamins, minerals, and nutrients all coming into the suit at once. So you'd be, as you walk, you'd be powering the suit and you'd be getting all these nutrients and whatnot so that you're kind of just breathing in healthy air and getting the vitamins that you need for the daily. So if you can't find food or something, all you have to do is walk around in the suit and the suit will provide it for you. Of course, the downside is you'd have to change out capsules in order to get those nutrients and stuff. All three of those. However, you could craft those and put those on the suit and just walk around and you'd get your daily food that way. Not sure what the long-term effects would be. I don't know if just artificial food through the air would actually affect your body or if you actually need to eat, but it'd be something like that. You can find me on the Discord if you ever want to game together. You can find my podcast, the Metal Gear Lorecast, on the Robots Radio Network. And that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, Wasteland Ronin. Yeah, that's a cool idea, like a recycle the air, clean it with a filter sort of system, but that also can help feed you, which would be kind of like being hooked up to like an IV machine. Like if you've ever been in the hospital and you're like, well, I have all the nutrients in my body, but I'm still hungry because I haven't eaten anything. Like it's kind of like that. Like you'd survive, but you'd be uncomfortable. What do you guys think about that one?
I feel like you would get pneumonia.
You'd get pneumonia from the suit?
Yep. Okay, well, hear me out. You're not supposed to be inhaling the vitamins, nutrients, and any food down to your lungs. Uh-huh. That typically goes down into your stomach for a very specific reason. So it would not be very effective in that way, I don't think.
but if you don't worry about the food side of it, the whole cleaning the air part.
I mean, it already does that. Like, remember, you can walk underwater with power armor. Yeah, it's an enclosed environment as it is. And it was designed that way because the Chinese were using chemical and biological weapons.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back to the food thing. I feel like in the fiction of Fallout, that seems like something that would be reasonable because they've done weirder things. Somehow, I know it doesn't make sense biologically, but it still feels like, or maybe the suit actually injects, cleans the air, pulls out nutrients, and then injects it into your veins or something? I don't know. Jeb, what do you think?
I mean, it's not a far stretch to, it's, you know, the imagination to like come up with something like that. It could be something as simple as it just when it inhales, like the rest bits gets separated out, put a different part of the armor, and then you just suck it through a straw. I mean, it's
right.
Same thing with like water and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's really not, especially for like something like survival mode. I think this would be probably a hardcore mode would be a very fun addition to it. I think it shouldn't completely replace someone having to eat food and drink water, but I think it would be like a good supplement for staving off the negative of like attribute effects, like from like starving or from dehydration a little bit longer.
Yeah. Okay. Pumpkin, did you want to chime in? I think you had something you want to say. No, you're good. All right. Well, thank you.
He kind of said what I was going to say.
Cool. Lil Green.
All right. I want to take this in a completely different direction. Still using this idea, but it's hurting you more than helping you. So,
okay.
So like something that, you know, this is something that let's say like Vault-Tec or the Enclave developed, and instead of like filtering out the FEV, it enhances it. And now it creates a different type of enemy inside the
like
power armor.
Like dudes stuck in power armor who have mutated and fused with their suits.
Yeah, they're all mutated, but like, and so it just creates like a different human. So like the filtration system doesn't work well with the FEV, and it just creates another monster for the wasteland.
Like it's like a ghoul.
It's like the ghost people almost.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ghost people. Yeah. Or it could be like a ghoul that expands
the person's
and fuses
still
into
alive
their
inside
suit.
Of it. So like maybe like they're like, it's like a super, like a super mutant that's just kind of like bulging out of it, but like, and like the head's like popped off, but like they still have all the attributes of like power armor.
There's Frank Horrigan.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's like Frank Horrigan. Yeah, like they fuse with their suit.
Describing Horrigan.
No, but like that would totally make sense as just kind of a run of the mill enemy. It's like somebody who isn't as much of a brick as Horrigan is, but like, you know, like just kind of, yeah, imagine like one of those fat ghouls, one of the puffy ones that just like gets big enough, but it happened, they ghoulified in their suit and now they're stuck. And so like parts of flesh bulge out between the metal plates, but they can't get out of the suit. It's just part of their body at that point. Oh, that'd be weird. All right. We've got all sorts of fun ideas. This is good. Pumpkin now wants to chime in.
And one of the other things I have, like it definitely connects to it with Little Green. A good way to tie that in is actually just use the Strangler armor.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have the Strangler power armor, and it's just a cosmetic. Like, this would give it a reason to be.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So you add, like, you take the cosmetic and then you add the feature to it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So this is fun and weird stuff. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. We got to wrap this up. Thank you to all of our patrons. Who would one of you like to pitch the Patreon? I had this idea earlier. I was like, it'd be really funny to have somebody else be like, hey, this is why you should join the Patreon. Anybody else want to do the Patreon pitch? No? I don't know.
You need to hang out with us every single month.
Pumpkin is freaking out. I don't know if that means he wants to or he doesn't want to.
Come out. You can always hang out. You could join the Robots Radio. You could. I'm too excited. You could see hear this show and see a ton of other shows. Just like Tom's other shows, the Elden Archive, not Elden Archive. That's Spartan.
That's Spartan's show.
You have the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
I do. Hold on. I think you're pitching the network. I was going to pitch the Patreon.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You're very excited. Why should people join this Patreon specifically? You disappeared.
You could always get to join our conversations here at the end of on the Wednesday of every last Wednesday of every month. And you get to hang out with us and talk Fallout.
There you go. And other stuff. You get lots of other stuff. But thank you to our newest patrons, D7 Rampage and Michael. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And Germinator's back. I didn't get to shout out you as our sentry bot. Now I get to do it again. Germinator is our lonely sentry bot this week. But who knows? Maybe more people will sign up at that level. And thank you to all of you and everybody who supports the show. I couldn't do it without all of you guys. You guys are awesome. Also, voicecast.app/Fallout is where you can leave voice messages, just like Ronan did. Ronan used that on this episode, and you can leave a message and maybe it'll get on a future episode of the show. You can share the show with your friends. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read it on a future episode. You guys know how all that stuff works. That's how the show works. And let's go back through, everybody. Thank you for being here. And real quick, what's something you want to put out into the world? We'll just kind of go in order. Pumpkin.
Hi, yes, I am Pumpkin. You know me from all the past episodes. I do this show. I do the Dungeons and Dipshits a live D&D show podcast. I think I got those wording
a
little wrong.
I'm sure, but if they just search Dungeons and Dipshits, yeah, they'll find
Dungeons
your show.
Dungeons and Dipshits, you can probably find us pretty easily.
Yes.
Yeah, you can also always find me on the Discord. I'm always I look at my Discord all the time, so constantly. You can just shoot me a message and I'm gonna see it.
Right, he just has the phone glued to one of his eyes where he's constantly reading Discord and then looking at the other to navigate the world.
But if you don't want to find me on Discord, you can always find me on Blue Sky at the Pumpkin King, the E being a 3 and the I's being 1s.
There you go. Thanks, Pumpkin. All right, Nova, you want to share stuff? You want to tell people things?
Yeah, I'm always on the Discord. You can always say hi to me if you really want to. I have a YouTube, which is just Supernova, capital S-U-P-E-R, capital N zero, capital V, capital A, like the Golden Retriever icon. I will eventually start posting lore videos about Fallout. Have a lot of ideas, just no time to execute. So, and I also have very little motivation to do it because, you know, I'm great at ideas, it's not the content.
Yeah. Yep. Well, cool. Thanks, Nova. Lil Green, you're next.
Well, you can find me on the Discord at Lil Green, or if you want to see some of my photography, as I always like to plug it, find me on Instagram at lilgreen_photography. Check out my stuff there. I'm hopefully going to start posting. Well, I always say this, I'm going to start posting more stuff. I just need to stop doing work. All I do is work, but yeah, aww. No, check me out there, or find me in the Wasteland on 76 on the PC.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out his stuff. St. Giub, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's St. Giub, J-I-U-B. You can find me on the Discord. I'm there, you know, most days. We can talk about Fallout. We can talk about whatever you guys want to, or just, you know, talk about my baseball teams or all that kind of good stuff. Tom, once again, thank you very much for hosting us. We appreciate you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the support. I appreciate you. It's a wonderful symbiotic relationship. all right. Germinator, you're wrapping this up for us. Thanks for welcome back, by the way. Thanks again.
Why, thank you. Same old for me. I can be found on Discord most of the time. But, burying my old man tomorrow, so I'll probably still be offline for a couple more weeks.
I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I haven't been here. So, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that,
well,
find me on Discord, hit me up if you want to play games. Been getting stuck into Farming Simulator recently. Because, you know, tractors.
You can take the tractors and put them on your power armor.
There you go. There you go. Tractors still have solid engine blocks.
That's true. They're in the game. Heavy machinery. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, our thoughts are with you and your family. I hope everything goes well with everything. And I know that's not easy to deal with, but it's kind of the way things go sometimes. So. But thanks for making the time to join us and being a part of this. And
not a problem at all.
Yeah. And everybody, thank you. Thank you to everybody for chiming in and being a part of this and chat for being here. Thank you for your support and everybody's continued support of the show. I'll be coming back next week with another episode. We've been doing a variety of different kinds of episodes lately. And every time I get done with one of these episodes, I get more ideas of like, oh, maybe I could do something about that. So all sorts of fun stuff in store in the future. And until then, stay safe in the wasteland. And if you need to, you know, customize your power armor in different ways, go for it. I think that's a fun idea. And, you know, who knows? Maybe you can attach a kitchen sink. Nobody brought up a kitchen sink. You can have everything and the kitchen sink. So there you go. All right. See you next time, everybody. Have a good one. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Save big money on everything for your projects now at Menards. Plastic lattice panels are durable, low maintenance, and are easy to install. They're a great accent for deck skirting, garden trellises, and creating privacy walls. We stock a huge variety of colors and sizes to fit your project. Say big on lattice at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save